this might dovetail into what I'm going to preach about a little bit, but I'm not sure. But it's been very evident to me just being here and just being out there preaching on the streets and everything in such a big area. It reminds me of Minneapolis in some ways, just because there's not a lot of people out there preaching. And I believe that the answer to those things are found in the scriptures as far as what needs to take place in order to have victory in this area. And to see, I mean, you have 800 murders that took place there, that have taken place this year there in Chicago in this area. And you have a lack of biblical churches here that will stand up and stand in the gap and fight the good fight of faith. There's a lot of church buildings around here. There's a lot of people around here that go to church. There's a lot of people that will be at church today. But there's not a lot of biblical churches that I've seen anyway. I've come here on and off. I think maybe 5 years ago is when I first came here with you.
Yes.
Is that about right? About 5 years ago, around 2011 or so, somewhere around 2012. So almost 5 years ago. And I met Lee, and I hung out with him and came over here. And I saw very quickly that there was not a lot of churches around here. So there's a lot of churches, but a lot of biblical churches that stand fast in the faith, that hold the scriptures, teach the scriptures, and actually go out and do something about what's going on.
Amen.
Right. There are not a lot. This is the most wicked, one of the most wicked, crime-infested, occult-infested cities in the Midwest, without a doubt. You don't have, the reason why you have so much murder and so much wickedness and so much is because the devil has free reign everywhere here. I mean, there's nobody really, there's not a lot of people really challenging his kingdom here.
That's right.
There just isn't, honestly. There's not a lot of churches that are out there doing that. And the promises to be able to get victory over those things are promises that are made to the Lord's churches. Yep. Those are the promises that God gives. And if you read in the scriptures, that's to the Lord's churches. That's who he gives his promises to. All right? So, there's a great need here.
That's right. There really is.
And in Minnesota, we're in the most liberal city in the state of Minnesota. We've had more opposition to the gospel than even in Minneapolis and other areas that we go preach to. It's a very wicked place where we live. It's very liberal. Two colleges funded by, you know, the government and everything else. And you know, it's just it's a stronghold for Satan in a lot of ways. It has been. Druids there, in such a little town, and all those other things going on. But the Lord put our church there 10 years ago. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary. And every church that went there before, Baptist church that tried to go there, that held to any fundamental Bible doctrines, didn't make it. They were pushed out. And they were done. And the Lord put us there 10 years ago, and by God's grace, we're still there. And to me, that's a model and an indication that the same thing needs to be done here.
Amen.
And if you're gonna do something, you know that old saying, go big or go home, right? Yeah. Well, I think if you're gonna do something for the Lord, then you need to go big when it comes to it, and you need to go after the heart of the issue, which is straight. Yep. In the city of Chicago, right there. And we need churches in this area.
Amen.
And we need some men that will go out in war and fight a good warfare and go out there and get the victory spiritually and understand the battle that they're in. Understand that these battles are spiritual battles. Our wars are spiritual wars.
Right.
None of that's happening because of gun control, because of anything else. Now, I understand wicked men put in wicked laws, and that's why they do all that they do. But there's a spirit that's behind all that. There's a spiritual war that's going on behind that. And when Baptists abandon, and Baptist churches and those fundamental churches abandon the inner cities, and they leave them, and they run from them scared, then the devil's just going to take hold, and he's just going to take over.
Right.
And he's gonna fill the place up with his people.
That's right.
And then they're going unopposed. Nobody's opposing them.
Yep.
Nobody's, they're not being opposed. You know, and So that needs to take place. There needs to be a war.
Yes, sir.
There's already a war, but we need some people to fight it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so we need to get out there and start fighting. But the way to do that, I believe scripturally, is with a local New Testament church
right.
that is
Amen.
Banded together that has the promises of God upon it,
Amen.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against
that's
it.
That's right.
But it's going to take some men and some women and some families that decide that they want that.
Yeah.
That they're all in and they want to see that happen. They want to see a work started here, and they're willing to do something about it. And, you know, you say, do you need a lot of money? No, you need a living room like this
right.
to get started. That's what you need. And some people that are sold out and sanctified and set apart and ready to do the will of the Lord.
Amen.
Sure.
Okay? And then they're willing to submit themselves to God, submit themselves to a local church, submit themselves to see that type of work started here.
Yep.
Because it won't happen. Off pure desire, it won't happen. There's many men that have pure desire, but you need the power of God, and you also need vision, you need direction, and you need some to follow the Lord's ordinances and His organization that He has set up in the Word of God, which is His local New Testament church.
Yep.
So, I mean, without that, you're going to spin your wheels in the work you're trying to do. You can go out there and preach on the streets all you want to, but when you're by yourself, you're a target. I'm sorry, but I've seen it over and over again, many times over, that men will go out there and they're fighting and they're trying to do right, but they're on their own and they get trampled, or they don't have the power of God behind them and they don't impact, they don't make the impact that they want to see.
Yep.
And a lot of it has to do with their order is not correct, and that's why.
Yep.
And they just spin their wheels constantly into frustration and they don't know why. And I can tell you why, because the promises aren't given to a single individual for victory. It's given to His church.
Amen.
That's the promises.
Amen.
And when they're together, when you're banded together, I'm telling you, we've seen more fruit in Northfield and across the internet and everywhere else than a lot of guys that get up there and get a camera on and just want to start teaching people and everything else. But we have seen the victory. We've seen God give victory through all of those things when some people, when we went as a church and we did things as a church and we fought as a church, because that's who the armor is given to. Individually, yes, but also if you look at Ephesians 6, he's talking to the whole body there, that local New Testament church in Ephesus. So he's writing, this is why it's called the book of Ephesians.
Yep.
Because he's writing to people
right.
in Ephesus that are gathered together as a church.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
anyway, I believe that's foundational to having victory, is to understand the real battle that you're in, first of all. You've got to understand that. You know, so I don't know where the Lord's going to take us here, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 6.
Man.
I wasn't planning on going quite this way, but
Ephesians 6 comes after 4.
Yep, 4 and 6. Yeah, 4, 5 and 6. Right, exactly. That was a brilliant statement, Nate.
Thank you.
Brilliant. I know what you meant by that, though. Yep. But when you see Ephesians chapter 6 here, he's gone through many things, and I called this message, I don't have a lot of notes on this, so that may be trouble for you, or it may not be, it just depends, but Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the armor, but he tells you here where the warrior's power comes from in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our strength comes from the Lord. It's in Christ. It's being in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you've got to have your armor on.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual battle. No soldier that goes out in war today, like if you see soldiers in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they are, they've got their armor on. If they go out, they're dead automatically without that armor. They have no fighting chance without that armor on.
Right.
The same thing goes with the Christian. If you don't have your Christian armor on, you're in trouble. You're gonna get demolished. You're gonna get destroyed by the devil, because it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual war that takes place, and if you're not ready for that war, then you're gonna get trampled on
right.
by the devil, because he's looking. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy any work that's there. He wants to destroy anything that takes place spiritual in your life that's for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, let me back up. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles. What does that mean? The wily antics of the devil. Because he's everywhere and he's always looking for a way to get in. He's always looking for a way to destroy. He wants to get in. He wants to find a chink in your armor so he can destroy you. So he can tempt you and you'll fall for the temptation and then you'll give in and then you'll be destroyed. He's looking for a way in. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You have a real enemy. One of the major problems is that everybody sees everything physically. They think if they have a problem in their marriage that, well, it's just between two people. No. Our battles are spiritual battles. There's a spiritual problem there. When you have arguments and contentions and fightings like that, it's because there's a spiritual problem there. There's something wrong there that's not right, and that's why you have that. That's why you have that battle. Same thing goes in this city, which you see all the wickedness and everything going on right there. You see a battle, but you have to see a spiritual battle there. Right. It's not a Democrat and Republican battle, because right. They're all wicked as hell, so it doesn't right. matter. Right. They're all a bunch of fakes and phonies and liars and crooks.
That's yeah. right.
All right? You don't see them going without any money. They threaten that little old lady that gets that Social Security check, right? But they ain't worried about their 200 grand coming in that year, are they?
Nope.
Democrat or Republicans, because they're all on the same team, that's why. So anyway, that's another story for another day.
That was free.
Yeah, it didn't cost anything. It was actually a bonus, right? So anyway, but it says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says, put on. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against the liberal politicians or whatever you think in this city that are causing. No, you're wrestling the devils that are behind them.
That's right.
You're literally wrestling devils. That's what you're doing. What does the Bible say? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Right.
They are seducing spirits that are there seducing people into do what they do.
Yep.
That's why you walk on that street corner. We walked down there. We drove by there. And before we even knew what was over there, we made the comment, what? There's always evil stuff around an occult bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why did we say that? Because we know from experience. Because we've seen
it. Before we even got there.
Yeah, before we even got there. So what we do, what do we see? A hookah shop right away.
Yeah.
Right? What's that for? Drugs. Help summon up spirits. Yep. Right? Then what do you see right next to the occult bookstore? Right next to it. Planned Parenthood.
Wicked.
Right next to it. You got the child sacrifice right next to it. Why is that? Because that's how the devil works. That bookshop's been there before all those other shops have been there.
1913,
right? The oldest bookshop in this area. Right? So it's been there for a long time. It's drawn a lot of devils in. A lot of organizations in there like that. And they're all, why? And then you got the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, all right there.
Yep.
See, the problem is those are all right there, but there's no preacher standing outside there doing anything about it. Because there's no churches that have a vision and a desire to really see and go out and fight that warfare. Why? Because they don't know what battle they're in. That's why.
That's right.
They have no idea what war they're in.
That's right.
They think it's a war against... If you think your battle is against abortion clinics or murder mills, whatever you want to call it, if you think your battle's against them, you don't understand the fight.
That's right.
Nope.
You don't understand the fight, and you're gonna spin your wheels fighting. I'm not saying that they're not a physical representation because they are, but that's not the battle. It's the spirit that is moving them.
Amen.
Behind there, they have a demonic. Well, let me ask you a question: do you believe Jesus Christ leads you? Are you a child of God? Do you believe the Spirit of God leads you?
Amen. Yep.
Right. Okay. Hold your finger right there and go to Ephesians chapter 2.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that people have no clue about what the real battle is here.
If
you look at it, what does he say here? He says here, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who quickened you? Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, quickened you. What does that mean? It means he made you alive.
Amen.
So he gave you a spirit. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. If you're lost, then you don't. You have another spirit in you, and I'm going to show you what that is.
Amen.
Right. It says here, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. According to what? The prince of the power of the air.
Yep.
There it is.
Who is that?
The devil.
The devil, that's Satan. They walk according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Who is he? He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of
disobedience. Yeah.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had our conversation in our lust in times past, the Bible talks, and we had those things before. But this is the spirit that they have now. Mm-hmm. So if there's a spirit of disobedience against Christ and against His Word, where is it coming from? What spirit is it?
Antichrist.
That's right. It's the devil. It's Satan's spirit. So now go back here, and he says here. So he told you that in Ephesians 2, who you were. He said you're sitting in heavenly places if you're saved. You're a child of the Most High. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. These people have the spirit of disobedience in them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the war that you're in. That's the battle that you face. But if you don't understand that foundational fact, you're gonna lose the war. You're going to lose. Why? Because you don't understand what the real battle is.
Right.
And I'm convinced that most churches today have no clue what the real battle is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They don't have a clue what the real battle is.
Yep.
They don't pray against it. They don't obey this text of Scripture. They don't put their armor on. They don't understand it, and that's why they're getting ate up.
Right.
That's why it's getting ate up. They're so busy into commercialism and everything else, they've lost sight of what the real war is.
That's right.
And it's going to take some people that separate themselves from that and that rise up and say, you know what? We are going to see a church here. We are going to do what God wants us to do. We are going to have these foundational things intact, and we're going to understand what the real war is. Because that's foundation number one, is understanding what the real battle is.
Yeah.
You can't go out there and fight if you don't understand what the war is.
Right.
And you think it's the homosexuals and the queers, everybody else is sitting in front of you, that's the real battle. No, it isn't. Don't you get it? There's a spirit behind them pushing them to do that.
Right.
What is it? It's a spirit of perversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a spirit of perversion behind them.
Right.
Listen, you've got to understand there are only two spirits in this world.
Yeah.
There are only two teams, in this world. There is the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and then there is Christ. And those two kingdoms war against each other.
Yes, they do.
And you have to decide, okay, I'm going to be on this team, and I'm going to fight this war. And I understand that foundational principle that our battles are spiritual battles. Our wars are spiritual wars. They are fought. Long before you get into anything that you're doing, long before you're tackling anything, you're wrestling devils.
Yep. That's right.
And if you don't understand that, you don't understand what the fight is. Well, the fight is the apathetic pastors out there. No, it's not.
All right. Yep.
No, it isn't. They're just a physical representation of a real spiritual condition that's out there.
Yep.
The real problem is that nobody has taken on the devil's kingdom here.
Yeah.
That's the real problem. And that's why he's running amok and all this stuff is happening, is because nobody's charging, nobody's fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's fighting it the right way, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fighting it, but they're spinning their wheels and wondering why they never get any victory, they never see any, make any headway, never see. Why? Well, because the promises are given to his church.
Right.
That's who the promises are given to. He's talking to this church at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know who those are? Do you know who all those are? Do you think all those are people? No. Yeah, they're people, right? Yeah, they're principalities. That means they're governors and senators and whoever. No, they're not. What did you just read what he said? He said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood."
That's right.
That's not a physical war.
Mm-hmm.
He's not talking about people. He's not talking about the President of the United States. He's not talking about the governor. He's not talking about the mayor. He's not talking about Rahm Emanuel. He's talking about the spirit behind them.
Right.
He's talking about the real war that's there. He's telling you, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Your war is not with those people. Your war, they're representations of those of that war, but they are just pawns.
That's right.
That's why everybody's, well, who's going to be president? Who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
Because the same spirit moves in.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changes. It's the same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're warring the same way.
That's right.
Here's how it works. They all hate Christ. Get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now go fight the devil, because that's the real battle.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm not saying don't do what you need to do. Don't stand against evil. What I'm saying is you need to understand where the real war is.
Yep.
Who you're really fighting. Because if one judge gets removed, another one comes in and does the same thing.
Yes,
sir. Yep. So I pray against that. I war against it. Yeah, I go contend with them. Absolutely. I'm not telling you not to contend with those people. What I'm saying is that if you lose sight of what the real war is, that's why we get ate up.
Yep. You're right.
That's why he's saying, man, you're going to get ate up. You're going to get destroyed.
Right.
You've got to put your armor on and fight.
Yep.
Yep.
Man.
He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are spirits. Different levels of spirits, I believe. I believe they're fallen angels, devils, demons, whatever you want to call it. Different levels. And there's principalities in the devil's kingdom. There's generals in his army, so to speak. There's different groups that handle different things. And they war. That's the whole spirit world.
Yep.
That's the one that nobody wants to talk about. That's the one that you can walk into 100 Baptist churches in this area and you'll never hear one sermon on.
That's right.
You won't hear him talk about it one time. And I'm picking on Baptists because I'm a Baptist, okay? Because, I mean, anyway. So, but one, not one sermon you'll hear about it.
Yep.
Why? Because they don't believe it exists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that's the real battle. They think Roe v. Wade is the battle. They think the Republican and Democrat is the battle. That's what they think. They don't think about this war.
That's right.
And that's why the devil doesn't bother them that much, because they're no bother to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the devil bothers? People that are bothered to him.
Yep.
You know why the devil comes after us? Because we bother him.
Yep. That's right.
We shake up his high places.
Sure.
Yep.
We go we go defile his high places. We go stand opposed to their people, to the spirit that's there.
Amen.
Yep. We fight in the spirit. And we understand that spiritual warfare that's there. So he comes after us.
Yep.
He attacks your mind.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's why. Why? Because you're getting to him. That's why.
Amen.
If you're not doing anything, he'll let you stay asleep.
Yeah. Yep.
Sleep on. You ain't bothering him any.
Right.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
Sleep on. You ain't bothering him any. He'll help you go to sleep.
That's right.
He'll put things in your way. He'll throw money at you so you're distracted. He'll throw entertainment at you so you're hypnotized.
Yep. Right.
He'll throw anything at you that he can. Why? To keep you busy going like this all the time and never facing and battling and fighting the real war that's there.
Right. Yep.
The real battle that's there.
Yep.
That's good, man.
Man.
Wherefore? You know, because of all this, because of this battle, because of this war, because of what you're in, he says this, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, I've preached on this, and I can't do that today because there's so many pieces to this, and I preached an entire series on it. You can listen to that. And then if you want CDs, we'll send them to you free. But I can't go through all that today, really, and break each one of those down. But he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He tells you again, you put your armor on. Put your armor on. Put your armor on. Right? How many times do you tell your children when they go out, put your coat on, son. Put your coat on. You're going to get a cold.
Amen.
Put your hat on. Put your gloves on.
That's right.
You're going to get a cold. You're going to get sick.
Yeah.
You can't stand up. If yesterday, I didn't have my Under Armour on, right? Man, you ain't going to make it out there very long.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Exactly.
You know that. You're not going to make it. It's freezing out there. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
You're freezing.
Yep.
Right? And to that Under Armour on. You need your spiritual Under Armour on.
Well,
yep.
You need that on.
Yep. Right.
You got to have it on to go fight the devil. And what you got to understand is that, and sometimes you don't, is that when you're going out there to preach, you're not going out there to preach against people. You're going out there to preach against the devil's kingdom and preach the law and the gospel.
Amen.
You are preaching against his kingdom.
Yep.
That's what you're doing.
Amen.
And that has to be understood.
Yep.
That's one of the foundational things, that if you don't understand it, you can't win the war. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Yeah.
And having done all, to stand. Can't stand without it.
True.
You know how many soldiers I've seen fall? They don't have their armor on. And they're falling all around you.
Yep.
Falling into sin. Falling into the temptations. Giving into it. Being consumed by the devil. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's those gospel boots for stomping serpents, right?
Yep.
And treacherous terrain. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts.
No.
To some? All the fiery darts.
Yeah, right, amen.
All of them, the shield of faith. The shield of faith, the Roman shield that Paul is talking about, was a shield that covered everything.
Yep.
It was a shield that came all the way down the body to the ground.
Yep.
And it covered everything. That's why he said, take, you know, and the shield of faith.
Yes.
You got to have it because it covered everything. It wasn't like a little shield like you see some of those guys have, it's like this big. No, it was a shield that covered everything. And it covered all the darts that came at them, all the arrows and everything that was there. It would cover their entire body. That's what it did. That's the shield that he's talking about. It covered everything. That's what he wants you to have.
Yep.
All the fiery darts of the wicked. Why? Because the devil's going to throw some stuff at you. As soon as you decide that you're going to surrender to God and get in the fight, he's going to throw some darts at you.
Right.
He's going to throw some darts at your wife, at your children, at your family.
Yep.
We're going to talk about next.
Yep.
All right? But he's going to do that. He's going to throw that. He's going to throw them. Doubts in the mind.
The mind.
Throw that in the... That's the battleground, the mind.
Yep, that's right.
That's where everything takes place, is in the mind.
Yep.
All of it takes place in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it takes place. The battle and the war against the devil is always in the mind and the heart. You think it's the outward action. Oh, no. No, it's in there. That's just... The outward actions show what's in the heart.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay? And where the battle is. But the battle is in the mind.
Yep.
That's why you have to have that helmet of salvation.
Yep. Amen.
You got to have that helmet on. Why? Because he's going to try to get those fiery little darts, those poisonous darts through to your mind to give you doubts and fears and problems and concerns and discontent and everything else.
Yep.
So you got to be armed up. You got to be ready to go. You got to be armed with the mind of Christ, and you have to be ready to fight because he's coming for you. I'm telling you. When you want to do something right, that's when the devil's going to come attack you.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you want to stay hypnotized and you don't want to do anything and you want to stay, man, he'll leave you alone. He'll just let you stay there. He ain't going to bother you. As soon as you have decided, nope, our family's going to do this. We're going to do this. Man, here he comes.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now you want to do something? Then he wakes up. Oh, okay. Time to go over there and mess with them.
Yeah, that's right.
Time to give them a problem. Now they want to do something for God, so I got to try to destroy that.
Yep.
Which brings me to the next point. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Because we're going to get into this too here. The next foundation is the family. Man, I'm telling you. He wants to destroy your family.
Yep.
Now if you live in worldliness and wickedness and all those things, then you know what? He'll leave you alone. He ain't going to bother you that much. You're fine. If you want to be like a lukewarm Christian, right? You want to play with the world and you want to play church? You want to play Christian? You want to play with the world? He'll leave you alone.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
He'll let you do that.
That's right.
Why? Because you ain't going to hurt him any.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't stand before your enemies anyway.
Right.
You can't stand because you're playing a Christian. You're a big phony and you're faking it.
Right.
You know, there's enough phonies out there. If you ain't saved by the grace of God, you don't want to be. Quit being a fake. Just go out and live like hell then.
Yeah.
Because there's enough people out there that are fakes. We don't need any more of those. If you want to put one foot in the world and one foot in God's house, and you want to put one foot in Christianity and one foot in the world, you want to keep your worldly pop culture Christianity and all that nonsense, then go ahead and go live it up.
Yep.
But don't fake and put a fake veneer on and act like you're a Christian. Don't do that. Because you're just a bad testimony.
Preach it.
And you just destroy and hurt the work of God. If you're going to be a fake, just admit, I have more respect for you. Just look at me and say, I don't want to be a Christian. I want to live like hell.
Yep.
I respect that.
That's right.
Go on and do it then. Watch yourself get ate up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to act like you're a Christian to everybody else around you, make your parents, make people think that you're saved, make people think, well, first of all, you ain't fooling anybody.
That's right.
Right.
You might think you're fooling somebody, but you ain't fooling anybody. People can see right through you. They know you're phony as a $3 bill. They can see it.
Yeah.
You ain't real. You don't love the Lord. If you love the Lord, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Yep.
So, that's right.
That's not going to work. That doesn't really fool anybody that has any discernment at all. They can see right through the worldliness and see that you're only playing a game. You're only playing a role. You're doing something in front of somebody to make yourself look good, but you're really a lost, wicked devil that loves your sin.
That's right.
I've seen enough of those in my life.
Yeah.
I've called out a ton of them, too. They don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. It should make you uncomfortable.
Yep.
You shouldn't be comfortable in your sin.
Right. Amen.
You shouldn't be comfortable living worldly. That's right.
Right. Amen.
You shouldn't be living comfortable in that. You know? But don't be a fake. Don't act like you love the Lord and don't. Don't be an actor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be real. Or go be what you really are. But don't try to put a fake facade up so people will think that you're a Christian. So your parents or your wife or your husband or whatever will think that you're a Christian. Don't be fake. If you're not real, you're not real. People can see it either way. All right.
Amen.
Next, we're going to talk about the family. Satan's attack on the foundation. You know, you can't ever do anything for God. If your family is not strong, you're not going to be able to. If the husband and wife relationship, the family is not strong, you're not going to be able to do anything for God. And Satan knows that too, by the way. Man, I'm telling you, that's why in anything you do, whatever ministry it is, whatever it is, you better prepare your wife. And I mean spiritually prepare her for it. You don't just go out and do what you think you're going to do for the Lord and not prepare your family for it. It's not going to work. You cannot live as a man, you cannot live a spiritual life outside of your family.
Right.
And act like, okay, well, I'm going to be spiritual over here while my family's over here. It doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Man.
You're going to destroy your family because the devil's got his foot. He's got his hoof in the door.
Right.
And you've given place to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let me help you with something. Your preaching doesn't have any power either.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't go anywhere and it doesn't produce any fruit. You want to know why it doesn't? Because you're not sanctified and your home's not sanctified. And when your home's not sanctified, you're going to spin your wheels with a whole lot of activity. And you ain't going to get nothing done for God.
That's right.
Because your home's not sanctified. You can't be spiritual out there and not spiritual in here. In the home, in the family. You can't do that.
Amen.
Doesn't work that way. That's right. Not life. That's not practical in anything. All right, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. So what did he do? He attacked the foundation of the Word of God.
Amen.
He went after that foundation and said, okay, I got to make this woman doubt God's Word. Now let me ask you something, husband. Do you think the devil has made your wife doubt God's Word? Doubt the validity of the mission that God has you on? Doubt the validity of your time away from her? Doubt some things? Doubt the principles that you say are in the Word of God, and then she's looking at it like, well, I don't know about that. I think so. Mm-hmm. How do I know that? Because I know how the devil attacks, because we have an example right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he does.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
He just showed you right here. This is what he does. He attacks the foundation. He's attacking the foundation of the Word of God, making your wife doubt the Word of God, just tempting her to doubt the Word of God. Yea, hath God said? You sure about that, Eve? Eve, you need to think for yourself.
Come on.
Eve, listen now. Do you really think that God said that? Let me tell you something that I've learned, or I'm learning, I should say. I never like to say I've learned something unless I know that I really, really have that strongest grasp of it. But I'm learning something, and that is that I think it was Solomon talked about drawing out from a wife's heart what's really in it. Okay? Let me tell you something. That takes a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're not going to do that right away. You're going to do that over time. But let me tell you, the most neglected ministry in all of this country right now, and everything I've seen, is the husband and wife.
Yep.
It's the absolute most neglected foundational ministry that is there. It is not being fulfilled. And Because of that, our churches, our families, our preaching has little power.
That's right.
Because what does the Bible say? If the foundations be destroyed, what?
What can the righteous do?
What can the righteous do?
That's right.
So then what does Satan know? Okay, time to chip away at that foundation. So let me get to the wife, get to her head, and get her to question everything. And then what do men do? Don't ask their wife questions. Don't find out what's in their heart. Don't communicate with them. Don't spend time with them. Go off and do ministry. And don't have a strong relationship with them. Right?
Right.
Yep.
And then what happens?
Mm-hmm.
The devil gets his hoof in there. He's got it in there. And he starts destroying. Meanwhile, you're championing a cause, running around, being a gladiator and a warrior and a champion and everything else like that, while your whole family goes to hell around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not taking care of your responsibilities.
That's right.
Amen.
You're not working on your family. You're not working on your relationship with your wife. You're not working on that foundation. Satan knows, and he says, hey, I know that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I know the Bible better than these Christians do, and I know that's true, so what am I going to do? I'm going to chip away at the foundation.
That's right.
So he chips away at the family.
The marriage
chips it away. Then when a husband's like that, he can't leave with confidence because his wife doesn't support his ministry. She's not supportive. He thinks it's just because she's rebellious or she doesn't love God. Now, he hasn't communicated anything with her to find out really what her problem is. He doesn't really take into account that he hasn't defended her and protected her and guarded her, doesn't know that Satan's attacking her. He just chalks it up to her being rebellious. Why? Because he doesn't remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That those thoughts that come into your wife's mind and her heart are not just sent there from her own heart.
Right.
Because the devil has access to our mind. And he does have access, and he shoots those fiery arrows.
Yep.
And then we help them along by not being the covering and the protection that they need.
Yep.
That's good. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, this isn't popular preaching on Sunday morning. It doesn't make the top 10 in most churches. It won't get me to speak in a lot of different places, except in living rooms in the Chicagoland area.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I'd rather go there anyway, where people are real and they really want to hear something.
Amen.
But the point is that he chips away at that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a foundation. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and then he goes after the foundation of the home and the family, and he chips away at it.
Yep.
Yea, hath God said? Are you sure that's what God wants? Are you sure God said that? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees. Now what is she doing? Now she's having a conversation with Satan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Now he's using all those doubts and fears in her mind. Now they're having a conversation. Uh-oh, what happens now? Well, you're not supposed to talk to devils.
That's right.
You're supposed to rebuke them.
Amen.
You don't talk to them. You don't conversate with them.
That's right.
You rebuke them.
That's right.
Amen.
But when she when she can't talk to you, she wrestles it around in her mind.
Yep.
And then she's wrestling devils because she can't talk to you because you ain't listening. You don't even know where she's at. You're all the way over there. She's all the way over there. And you don't know where she's at.
Right.
You think just because her body's right in front of you that she's there with you and she's not.
Because mm-hmm.
you don't know because you haven't talked to her.
That's right.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat of it. What happened? Well, Satan already had her. He trapped her. She answered him. You don't answer the devil. You just rebuke him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She answered him. And what'd she do? She propagated a lie then. She told a lie. What'd she say? She said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. lest you die. Did he say that? Did God say that?
No, sir.
He didn't say, neither shall you touch it. What was that? That's the temptation of that forbidden fruit, though. The curiosity of a woman.
That's right.
Curious. Want to know what's going on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to be informed. Why do you think a lot of high-level occultists are women?
Yep.
Why do you think the most of the women have propagated those false doctrines and things like that? Because they're curious. Now, if their men would stand up and would have stood up and led them biblically, then Ellen G. Witch, or White, may not have been the woman that she was.
Yep. Amen.
Come on now.
If her husband led her, if he did right, if he loved her enough to lead her and to correct her. Right?
Amen.
And the serpent says, woman, you shall not surely die.
Bye.
Yep. And there's another one. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Will that appeal to the woman? Right? She get that knowledge. Her curiosity is met. The devil has her. And she's away from the headship of her husband. He's chipping away at the foundations. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the morning in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. What happened? He chipped away at the foundation. He went after her, and her husband wasn't there. And instead of correcting her and teaching her and saying, no, that was wrong, and no, you can't do that, he didn't. He didn't. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You're to dwell with your wife according to knowledge.
Right.
You're to know her.
Amen.
Yep.
You're to understand her heart and know where she's at and to teach her and to love her and to care for her. Part of that headship, you know, sometimes men, they think that that headship is just basically making sure she's following you as far as what you tell her to do, cleaning and cooking and taking care of the children and that and being at home. And that just means that's my headship. I take care of her. I pay the bills. I do this and she does that. And that's how it works. No. That isn't how it works.
Right.
What does it mean to be the head of something? Well, if you're the head of something, it means that you preside over something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the head of the church. Does he leave us to ourselves? No.
No.
Nope.
Does he teach us? Yes.
Yeah.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Which, by the way, is before 6. So why is that important? Well, numerically, it means that we can count, so that's good. But that's not the point.
Amen.
The point is that the family is being dealt with before ministry and going out and warring is being dealt with. The priority and the foundation of family is being dealt with first. If your house is not in order, then guess what you don't do? You don't go try to fight the devil and go war when your house is a disaster.
Right.
When you are not leading biblically, when you are not doing what's right, you don't go try to go fight the battles out there. You better fight the devil right there.
Right, amen. Yeah.
That's where you need to be fighting.
Right.
If your children aren't walking according to the scriptures, if your wife isn't walking according to the scriptures, if she's not being led spiritually, if you're not being her head, if you're not following him, then you shouldn't take off and go do something else.
That's right. Amen.
You need to work on what's at home.
That's right. It's Bible.
That's right. It is Bible.
Amen.
It's called priorities.
Yeah.
Putting the things first that matters most.
Right. Right.
And you know what? You can't be an effective warrior when your home life is a disaster.
Right. Amen.
You can't. And you're not, by the way. You're not being effective. You're spinning your wheels.
Yep. Right.
And you don't Amen. Have the power of God.
Amen.
And it's evident that you don't have the power of God. Because you're not dealing with those things.
Amen.
Because this is God's order. This is not a suggestion. This is not God's grand suggestion for your life. This is God's order.
Amen.
And I don't like that bold, straight preaching. I know a lot of people don't like it. The devil don't like it either.
Nope.
Amen.
Preach it.
But you know what? I found that you can never help anybody unless you're willing to say the hard thing to them.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Because most pastors won't do it because they're worried about the offering.
Candy coat it.
Well,
you know, they won't. They won't tell you. They won't look at you and tell you, you know, you have some things out of order that need to be fixed.
That's right.
They won't do that.
They won't.
Why? Because it's not popular. You'll get mad and you'll leave.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, I've had people leave. I've had a lot of people leave. And many I was glad to see go.
Mm-hmm.
And many I opened the door for.
Mm-hmm. Liars.
Mm-hmm. And manipulators. And many we voted out.
Mm-hmm.
We opened the door, we escorted them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't want to follow the Bible.
Nope.
They wanted to live rebellious.
Yep. That's right.
It says here in Ephesians chapter 5, he deals with Christ being the head. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in verse number 21, in the fear of God. Submission is done in the fear of God. We submit because we fear God.
There you go.
See that? When a man tells me he fears God, but he doesn't submit to God and His Word, he's a liar.
That's right.
No truth in him.
No, you're lying. You don't submit to the truth. You're giving the truth. Yeah, but I don't like that. It doesn't matter if you like it. It matters if it's true or not. You've got to determine in your life, if truth is truth, then I'm going to follow it.
Amen. Amen.
Otherwise, why pay lip service to it? And you can't fight the devil without it either, without submitting to God. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh. But if you're not submitted to God, and what does that mean to be submitted to God? It means that I follow what His Word says.
Amen.
If His Word says I'm to be the head of the home and I'm to lead my wife and I'm to guide her and my children and everything else, then it means I'm not submitting to God if I don't do that.
Right.
Amen.
You know, a lot of guys want to go out and do the glamorous stuff out there for the world and everybody to see. Because everybody sees them do that. But they don't see them work on the things in their homes.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So your home can... I've met many people, their home is like hell.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're okay with that as long as they put that front up out there.
Amen.
But when they come to a church like ours, and then you start preaching on things like this, and then you start holding each other accountable, and then you start to see all those things, it's like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And then what happens? Well, when people get too close and they actually see who you really are, and they don't want to repent and get right, they take off out the door.
Yeah, right.
We're gone. Why, well, that pastor's too hard. Really, well, it's not just that pastor. Just ask the other men. They believe the same thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They believe the same thing.
Amen.
Because it's the Bible. The
Bible.
Bible.
Right. They said, hey, it's the Bible, so we're gonna submit to God's Word. So are you? If you're not following God's order, how can you fight the devil? You can't. It's impossible.
Right.
You can't.
Amen.
You're spinning your wheels, and you're not fighting him.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. What does that mean? It means to fight him.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
But how can I fight him if I've not submitted to God?
Can't.
You have no strength on your own. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
So how can you fight the devil and go out there and fight the devil and do all these things when you're not even submitted to God?
That's right.
And that means it's a submission to God's Word. That means, God, you're right. You said this in your Word, and I need to follow it.
Yep. Amen.
Otherwise, I'm just spinning my wheels, and I'm not getting anywhere.
Yep.
Right, but if you want to put the front on like you're the best warrior out there, then it's easy to put on a show. Man, people do it on Facebook, Fakebook, all the time.
All the time.
Yep.
It's so awful. I cannot believe how fake people are on there.
Yep.
No, I'm not kidding you. It is absolutely scary. It is 100% scary. You have people that build up this online persona like they're this spiritual person. And then you have them come to your church and you catch them peeping Tom in one of your church members' windows.
Yeah.
Do you understand that? That's real life, friend. That's real life. I'm not giving you some fake illustration. I'm telling you what just happened 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And did it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Right. See what I mean? You can build up any kind of persona of you being a Christian all you want to online, but you know what happens when you get a local New Testament church and you're actually in there and you actually hold each other accountable and you actually live for God and people actually know this book and they actually read it and they actually study it and they know what it takes? Well, then guess what? Now you have to make a decision. You're either going to try to be fake through all that and then basically be revealed and then they have to be like, uh-oh, I got to leave because, man, they know who I really am.
Yeah.
Or you're going to submit to God.
Amen. That's right.
Submit. Amen.
But I have found that men that are not held accountable will not submit to God.
That's right.
I have seen the fruit in people's lives of them being held accountable for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched it, what's happened in their lives. They've been held accountable, and guess what? They've grown. Because they want to grow. They want to submit to God. They want to obey Him.
That's right.
So the devil's attacking that foundation of the family. Why? Because, well, you're not submitted to God.
That's right. Amen.
Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Don't tell me you fear God when you're not willing to submit to Him. If you can't lay down your rebellion, if you can't lay down your bad attitude, if you can't lay down your worldliness, if you can't lay down your pop culture, if you can't lay down your wicked music, if you can't lay down your wicked movies, if you can't lay down your wicked idolatry, if you can't lay those things down,
don't fear God.
You don't fear God.
Right.
After it's been showed to you. After it's been showed to you. I understand when people walk in ignorance and they don't know. Hey, I get it. And I'm sympathetic with the people that don't know, and I want to teach them.
Amen.
But when you know, and you see it very clearly, and then you war against it, you fight against it, you're not submitted to God. You're rebellious, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're called on your rebellion, and then people get mad. Why? Because they're not submitted to God, and they don't fear the Lord.
You've got
to
put that pride down.
That's right.
Amen.
You've got to say, hey, you know what? Wrong, wrong, wrong. I was wrong.
Amen.
Got to let it go.
That's right.
I ain't going to fight no more, God. I was wrong.
Amen. Or He'll abase you.
That's right. Or God will abase you. That's right. He's going to preach on that sometime soon.
Amen.
What that means to be abased by God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So wives are to submit to their husbands. There's a head and there's a body. There's a head, there's a leader. And then there's one that follows. It doesn't have to mean just like a physical head, you know, or even in a spiritual sense, but just a head, a leader over, a covering over, a head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? That's what that means. So wives are to submit themselves unto their husbands.
Yep.
Now, it's really hard for a lady to submit to a husband that doesn't lead.
That's right. Amen.
Because then she is forced to lead by default because he's not doing what he's supposed to do. But then he's over there telling... talking about how his wife's not submitting to him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you submit, when you try to lead in some passive way, and you're not a strong leader, you know why you're not a strong leader? Because you're not confident in the Scriptures.
Amen.
If you're confident in the Scriptures, you're a strong leader.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
That's what happens. When you know that you have the biblical mandate to lead, then guess what? Your wife is going to follow you if she loves the Lord.
Amen.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. I've heard a lot of people say, well, we're equal partners. Doesn't say that in the Bible.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Doesn't say that in the Bible.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, that's not there. Somebody made that up. And it wasn't God.
Right.
No, I'll give you the only other option that is.
Come on.
Because it does not say that husband and wives are equal partners. Well, let's do the comparison. What did he say? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Are you equal with Christ? Are you an equal partner with Christ? Or is he your head?
Amen.
You go to Christ and say, well, Christ, we need to have a talk here.
We need to kind of negotiate something here. I know you're God, but I just think you don't understand some things, God. So we should try to work this out to where, you know, we can come to a mutual agreement.
I don't like what this Bible verse says.
Yeah. God, I don't like what this Bible verse says. And can we work around this? Is there a way to, like, work around this?
Can we do a loophole?
Yeah, is there a loophole somewhere in this, God?
Well, come on.
It doesn't work that way, does it? Guess what? It doesn't work that way with a husband and wife either.
Yeah.
You know where the devil gets his foot in the door? Is when a husband and wife are not working together, and the husband doesn't know his role and the wife doesn't know hers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bible doesn't say you're equal partners. It says... that Christ is the head. It says the husband is the head.
Amen.
That's what it says.
That's
sir.
Word of God.
Do we believe it or not?
Amen.
Yes.
That's what we have to ask ourselves, do we believe it or not?
Amen.
Because you know what you do? What you believe, you follow.
Amen.
Yep.
Don't say you believe it and not willing to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Obey, amen.
That's right. And he is the Savior of the body, it says. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything.
Yep.
Says everything. Says everything. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But think about this for a second now. It says he's the Savior of the body. So how is the husband the Savior of the body for his wife?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. You know what? A wife is ready to submit to a man that's willing to sacrifice for her.
Yep.
Sure.
That means he puts her needs before his own.
Amen.
That means he actually cares about her, like what's in her heart, and he knows, and he wants to draw it out, and he wants to be there for her, and he wants to love her and care for her.
Amen.
And protect her.
That's right.
He's the Savior of the body. He's there to protect her. Why? Because the devil's going to come attacking her, and he's there to protect her.
Amen.
He doesn't just leave her on her own and let her go with her own emotions and everything else, and she's hurt with resentment and bad feelings and everything else. Inside there, he doesn't know what's going on. He's so busy in his own world. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, because I've been there.
Yep.
I've ate a lot of humble pie.
Yep.
Amen.
Lot. I've had to sit weeping in tears and crying and begging for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. You mean the same way? That's what it says. So let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Same subjection. You have to lead. A husband has to lead. And a wife needs to follow. But if there's nothing to follow because somebody's not leading, how can she?
Yep.
Sure.
Just because you lead doesn't mean you're like this barbarian that doesn't explain anything, doesn't talk about anything, and doesn't work through things. If you have a track record of being a screwball, then it's going to take some patience and some trust to be built up before you can just go ahead and expect everything to be different overnight.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Work that way.
Yep.
Going to be building some trust. Going to be fixing some things that are wrong. Right?
Right.
Amen. Yep. Yeah.
Husbands, love your wives. Uh-oh. Now, you like the first part. The first part was wives, submit yourselves as unto the Lord, right? You submit to your husband. You like that part, right? Man, that's good. Right? A lot of guys say, amen. Amen. That's right.
Right.
Uh-oh. Well, then, by the way, instantly, I have a sermon on each one of these you can listen to. I don't have time to go through all of that. This is just like a kind of a general overview. But next he says, but now this part is where the husbands are like, yeah, well, I love her. I told her that like 20 years ago, so I haven't changed my mind any. It's still the same. Right? I haven't changed my mind. I'll let you know if I changed my mind, but I said it 20 years ago. Right? Come on. I bought you a hamburger a week ago. Huh? Right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. See? Even as Christ also loved the church. Uh-oh. That's a rough one, isn't it? Yeah, that love is a very sacrificial love.
That's right.
It means that I'm very long-suffering. It means that I'm very kind. It means that I don't expose her errors to everybody so people can see them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I conceal them. And I don't let everybody know about those things. I don't bash her. I don't out her in front of people. I don't treat her like that. I love her, and I teach her in private, and I deal with those things that need to be dealt with.
Yep.
Amen.
Because Satan, he just wants a foothold. He'll use anything just to get his foot in the door for that family. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, I know a lot of marriages, and the husbands are like, you know, my wife needs to submit to me and do this and do that. I've seen a lot of men not give themselves for their wives, though. I've seen a lot of that, too. They expect this submission, but they've never given themselves for their wife. They've never given themselves for her. And she knows that, by the way. She knows it. A lady knows whether her husband is sacrificial towards her. She can watch a man go try to save the world and lose his own family. Yep. Lose the heart of his family.
Mm-hmm.
By going to try to save the world.
Yep.
But not prioritizing scripturally like God does here. I preached a sermon called Christian Infidels.
Yep.
I would have preached that today, but I was afraid some heads would blow off their shoulders. And I really didn't want to get the top of this ceiling dirty. It looks like it has a great paint job. And I didn't want to ruin that. So I'll let you listen to that online when I'm far out of town. Okay? You probably already heard it, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. But anyway. That he might sanctify. What's the point of that? What's the point of that giving himself for? What's the point of that? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. When's the last time you sat down with your wife and taught her something from the Bible?
Amen.
Amen.
When's the last time you sat down with the scriptures and led as a man and taught your wife the Bible?
Amen.
You'll go out there and teach everybody in the world the Bible, and you'll preach everybody. What about your duty right there?
Amen.
You have no business teaching other people the Bible when you don't even teach your wife any scripture or your family any scripture.
Yeah. That's right.
How can you possibly do that and think that that's acceptable in God's eyes? When this is the first ministry you have, these children, remember they're in your quiver, remember the arrows that they are? That's how you stand before the devil and the enemies of God, is when you have that quiver full. But it's a quiver full of those spiritual arrows.
Amen.
That are equipped and well equipped to fight the devil.
Amen.
Happy is the man.
Yeah, happy is the man, the Bible says. Those are children and a family that is equipped to fight the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But you go off and fight the devil on your own and leave your family here.
Yeah.
Think about that. I know a lot of people that do it. I watched a lot of people do it.
Yep.
Traveling around being a hero. Better be your kid's hero.
Amen.
Right.
Better be your wife's hero.
Right.
She better be able to look up to you.
Mm-hmm.
For spiritual strength, for integrity, for love, for care, for sacrifice.
Right.
Says the purpose of that, of loving her, is that you might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word.
Right.
Does your wife have problems? I know you want to say yes. And I don't blame you. Because I wouldn't either. But you know she does. Because you do.
Yep.
And if I asked her, she'd probably be able to say quicker that you do.
Yeah, amen.
Because nobody knows you like she does.
That's right.
Yep.
See, she sees you when the mask is off and there's, you know.
That's right.
And you're just who you are around there. She knows who you are. You ain't fooling her.
That's right. No.
That's why when you're out there and you're doing all that superhero stuff and you're flying around in a cape out there. Right?
Come on.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're flying around out there like super Christian. And she's like, well, man, we're super Christian here.
That's right. Amen.
And he needs to put them, not spandex, but he needs to. He needs to put that spiritual armor here.
Yeah,
amen.
He needs to be in this house. I want to see it here. Right?
That's right. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Take the Bible and you teach her. And you're patient. Now you don't just yell at her. No, woman, you submit to me.
Yep.
That's fun to joke around about. It doesn't work. It's not very effective. I like to joke around like that sometimes. Woman, get in there and do that. But she just laughs. But
I get the frying pan.
It's not going to work. Duck! But it doesn't work, right? No, what are you supposed to do it with? With anger? With your temper? With your anger, your malice, and your wrath? No. You're supposed to take this and say, honey, we need to sit down, and we need to talk, and I want to show you something from the Word of God.
Amen. Right.
Bet you didn't do that before you got mad at her.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Bet you didn't do that, did you? Nah, you didn't, did you? Nope, she's just rebellious. Oh, she is. Rebellious woman don't want to listen.
You're an A-ball.
Yeah, hey, you're being an A-ball, that's right. Stubborn. A stubborn, proud fool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you think that you have the moral mandate to be that way. Because you're doing something for God. And the devil's got you.
Yep.
And he's chipping away at that foundation. Chipping away at it. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You can love her as your own body. Mm-hmm. And he explains how. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. That's how you're to treat your wife. You know, it's not hard for a woman to submit to a man that she knows nourisheth and cherisheth, feeds her spiritually. That's not just talking about physically. Yes, you have a physical responsibility to take care of your wife. And I preach very hard on keepers at home. Mm-hmm. And that might make somebody mad here today, but that's fine. But I believe a man ought to take care of his wife, and I don't believe she ought to have to go out in that world and do anything. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
Amen.
I can prove it from the scriptures that the word of God be not blasphemed, it says.
That's what it says.
Yep.
It doesn't say keepers of the home, it says keepers
at
home. Unless you have an NIV. Right? It says at home. Why? Because I believe that if you want your wife to submit to you, then you need to lead her. And you need to provide for her. And you need to take care of her.
Yeah.
And she shouldn't be out there in the world submitting to other men.
Right. Uh-oh.
Why is she out there submitting to some other man? And then you're sending this mixed confusion. No, you're supposed to submit to me. No, you know what? God never told her that she was supposed to submit to any other man but her husband.
Nope.
He didn't say all men to Eve. He said, thy desire shall be to him, and he shall rule over thee. Who's he? Her husband.
Yeah.
Not some other man.
Right.
Not a pastor.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have women. Well, we don't have a nursery at our church anyway. Well, we do have a nursery, but it's women going to nurse their babies.
Nursing room.
But we don't have a nursery, because I haven't found one in here yet. I've been looking for that, but I haven't found that anywhere in there. Why is that? Well, first of all, I don't want a woman, the head of the nursery department, coming to talk to me, because that's not a proper biblical role. It's not proper for me to direct your wife and tell her what to do.
Right. Amen.
It's not proper. It's not biblical. Where do you see that in the Bible? You don't. You don't see that. What do you see? You see a husband being the head of his wife. I'm not going to go tell his wife what to do.
Right.
That's inappropriate.
That's right.
Amen.
So what about the workforce? Exactly. She ain't supposed to be there either. She's supposed to be at home.
Amen. Oh,
that's sexist. No, that's Bible.
Amen.
That's plain Bible.
That's right.
What does it say? That the word of God be not blasphemed.
That's right.
By the way, it only says that a very few select times in the scriptures.
Yeah.
About sin causes the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme God. That's what David did. David's sin caused that. And a woman not being a keeper at home causes blasphemy.
That's right.
That's what he said. Let's turn there. Is it Titus chapter 2, right? I'll show you. By the way, I'm firmly convinced that when this order is not followed, that's why there's problems in the home.
Yep.
That's why about 5 years ago, we cut out the nursery department. We went to an integrated church service, and we have everybody in the room together, children crying, screaming, doing whatever. It don't bother me. I said it then, and I'll say it again. If I can't out-preach a kid, I'm not called by God. If I can't out-preach your screaming infant, then I ain't called by God.
Yeah.
You can squad that kid down.
Yeah. Like Jack Hiles be like, ushers, remove those children.
Yeah.
Send them to the nursery. Why, Jack? You can't outpreach them? Seriously, are you that lame? You can't outpreach them, really? You can't outpreach some kids screaming? First of all, after a few minutes, the lady's going to take them out anyway because she's going to be like, man, people are looking at me. I'm going to get this kid out of here. Then they calm down. But they get used to it. You know what those children do at church? They all sit. And they listen. And then they come up and say things to you and they talk about the Bible to you.
Yes, they do.
But they don't learn anything. They can't learn. They must be in segregated classes.
Oh, man.
Why? They learn just fine. I'll tell you what, I'll put those kids up in our church against any kids in those Sunday school classes learning about Patch the Pirate and swinging their heads around and playing and throw the ball in the bucket games. I'll put them against any of those kids in a conversation.
Amen.
We'll see if they can handle it.
Amen.
Singing. And all the games that they do at church and all that stuff, our children can have an intelligent conversation with you about the Bible from listening to sermons.
Praise the Lord.
Which you lift's going to get you.
Yeah, exactly. They're not learning about pirate ships. Which, there's no such thing as a Christian pirate. Let me help you out with that. It's just not there. You can look around the script. Pirates are bad people. Okay? They're bad people. If a pirate got saved, he would not be a pirate anymore. All
right? Right. Amen.
That's just common sense. Anyway. I don't know why I got on that, but I did. Anyway.
Amen. Times two.
Times two, thank you.
Verse five.
Thanks. It says here that the aged women, verse number 3, likewise that they be in behaviors become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober. Serious life. Not sober, just alcohol, but sober, serious life. Sober in all things. Not drunk with the, intoxicated with the affairs of his life.
That's right.
Not, you know, stuck in glamour and all that other stuff. But, you know, sober, serious, a serious life. Ready to serve the Lord. To love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste. What's it say? Keepers at home.
Yep.
But you like the next part, but you don't want to do the first part. Remember that whole thing about talking about sacrificing? Giving your body? I had one guy tell me, well, I can't have my wife be a keeper at home. Well, why? Because I'd have to work 12 hours a day to do that, to make what she makes. So, what's your point? What's your point?
You'd have to work hard.
You'd have to work hard? What's your point? Now, let me ask you. Remember that whole thing we talked about? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This is one of the foundational things that Satan has chipped away, and he sold feminism to the churches, and it's worked fine.
Yeah.
And why does it work fine for most men? Because they like that extra paycheck coming in.
Yep.
Because we can't survive without it. Really? How much faith do you have?
Pastor likes it, too.
Yeah, the pastor likes it, too, because he gets a double tithe.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Telling
Uh-oh.
You. Telling you. Double tithe. Sounding good already. Get the bucket out, Mike. Let's go. I'm just kidding. Sort of. No. I'm giving Mike a hard time here.
Joel, that's all right. Joel seems to get the KFC buckets.
I need a KFC bucket, man. That bucket's huge. So does CT Townsend.
Fill that with money, yeah.
CT Townsend, man, he's straight pimping up there in that tent, man. He was just like, bring that bucket around again. Get that KFC bucket. It's like, were they giving free KFC out of the bucket and then filling it up with money after that, or what? What's going on?
Baptists do like the fried chicken, so.
They do like the fried chicken,
yeah,
that's right. That's right. Well, you know why? That's revenge.
Yep.
Don't you? Anyway. Okay. But it says here to be discreet, chaste. And by the way, I have sermons on all these things, too. Every single one of these points. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands.
Why?
Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed.
Amen. There it is.
And I can tell you, I have never heard a pastor besides the one standing in front of you that has preached that.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not giving myself any glory. I'm just telling you, I have not heard it.
Go search sermon audio.
Go search sermon audio and see if it's there. I'm going to preach on it. Why? Because it don't bring the money in. And you have to have faith. And you have to teach your men to sacrifice for their families and work hard. So what do? We just put a, what do you call that, a chest, I guess? What do you call that thing, we put offerings in?
A little wooden box.
Yeah, a little wooden box with a slit in it, and we put it in the back, and it just sits there. We don't carry around it. We don't take care of it. That's where people go if they want to give.
It's part of my worship.
Yes, exactly. They
this is what I said.
No. They put it back there. Right? They put it back there, and that's where it goes. We don't take around the outside. Why? Because we trust God and we live by faith and God takes care of us.
That's right.
That's what He does. If you preach the Word of God faithfully, God will take care of you. He has to. It's His promise.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what's happening. Yes, but it says here that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Now, that's a pretty serious charge, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're saying if my wife's not a keeper at home, then the Word of God is blasphemed? Yes. But I didn't say it. He said it.
Yep.
God said it.
So how are you going to fight the devil when you're not even submitted to God?
Submit to God.
That's what He said. That's foundational for family. You don't want to know where our children are being tore up and ate up by the world? Because mom's not home.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what. When mom has an eye on you, you ain't going to get in trouble like that. Because she's watching you.
Yeah.
Amen.
She will whack you one. Right?
Amen.
But when when mom's not around, that's the first thing I got in trouble with. When mom wasn't around when I was a kid, man, I got into trouble right away. Mom went to work. I went to public school. All hell broke loose. I was looking at pornography and smoking dope and smoking cigarettes. Within a year, I was doing all those things. Why? Because my mom wasn't there to keep an eye on me.
Amen.
She wasn't keeping the home there. She wasn't there.
That's right.
And you're going to tell me that in this day and age it's better?
Wrong.
No, it's imperative. It's more imperative that we follow it now because of the dangers of this life.
Yep.
That our children face. They need a mother there with them, teaching them the Bible, guiding them, directing them, holding them accountable, loving them, and nurturing them.
Child left to himself.
Bringing his mother to shame.
Yeah, amen.
Very clearly. All right. I'm almost done here, I think.
Preach.
Amen.
Do you want to read James 4?
Yeah.
Submit yourself to that.
Oh, yeah. I should probably bring that out, shouldn't I? That'd be a good idea. James chapter 4 there. That'd be good. I've been quoting the verse. I better show you.
Yep.
So you can know where to find it.
James 4, 6.
All right. Here we go. James 4, 6. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What does that mean? You know what? When you're willing to obey God, God's going to give you grace. You know what? You may have messed your marriage up, messed your life up, messed everything up. But I'll tell you what, if you humble yourself before God, He'll give you grace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you harden yourself to the truth and don't follow it, and you're proud, God's going to fight you.
That's right.
I preach a sermon on that, the war on your pride. God will war against your pride.
Yep, that's right.
He will bring you down.
Yep.
That's what it means to resist you. It means to war against you.
Right. Amen.
Then it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You're not going to... That was called... I preached a sermon on that, too, called the war of submission.
Amen.
Because before you can fight the devil, you got to submit to God.
Amen. You can't submit when you're proud.
No.
No.
No, you can't submit when you're proud. Because you're not going to lay down that pride.
No. Nope.
You can't even hear it. You harden yourself to it.
Amen.
You can't even hear it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
That's right.
Draw an eye to God, and he'll draw an eye to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts,
you
double-minded.
Double-minded.
Be afflicted and mourn and weep. You see what he says here? You double-minded. Why are you double-minded? Because you're trying to follow God, and you're trying to follow the world at the same time. You're trying to follow worldly principles
and
godly principles at the same time.
No.
It doesn't work. I'm going to do my ministry, but I'm going to ignore my ministry at home. I'm going to do this ministry out here, but I'm going to ignore my ministry at home. It doesn't work.
Right.
The devil's chipping away. Yeah, halted between two opinions. How long, halt ye? You're going to be destroyed. Because the devil's going to get his foot in the door.
Right.
Because your priority is not your family. Your priority is everything else.
Yep.
And I'm saying is you can't go outside of the camp until that camp is strong.
Amen.
That's right.
You're actively working on it and building it and making it stronger.
Make
so you can.
Enemy.
That's right. Make up that. So you can war a good warfare. And then when you go out and fight the battles of the Lord, then you see victory. And not defeat.
To preach a message on that, you break whosoever breaks down the hedge, a serpent
yeah.
shall bite him.
Right. There's a sermon on that too, the hedge. You're breaking through the hedge. You know? Because Satan wants to get through the hedge, that serpent.
Yeah.
That's why you build up a hedge to keep him out.
Yep.
But when you break down those hedges, devil's coming to get you.
Yep.
And a lot of Christian warriors are fighting with the hedges broken.
Yep, all broken.
There's no hedge around them. Why? They trampled over it.
Yep.
The Bible says a fool does that.
Because
mm-hmm. they're being destroyed. Let's see if I have any other scriptures here for you that I wanted to go over real quick. You know, the best part about being wrong as a Christian is that you can get right.
Amen.
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 The best part about it is if you haven't been following the scriptures, you haven't been following God, you can get things right. You don't have to be a warrior that has one foot or part of your armor on and the other part off. You don't have to be a warrior like that. You don't have to be a warrior that has no power. You can put on the armor of God and you can fight and you can war against the devil. But you've got to follow God's principles for battle. You've got to follow that. And what is that? Well, first of all, you need to understand it's a spiritual war.
Yes.
Second of all, you have to understand that you've got to protect the home base.
Yep.
The devil's coming after your family. He's coming after the churches. He's already infiltrated them and destroyed many of them. But he wants to come after your home and destroy that. If you do want to see a work done here, if you do want to see God do something here, you've got to get your family back in order where it's not in order. You've got to fix some things that aren't right. Every time I'm preaching and talk with him, there's always room for inspection. To go over things and look and see, well, where can the devil get his foot in my home?
Sure, amen.
Give no place to the devil, the Bible says.
Amen.
Where in my home, in my family, in my marriage, can the devil get a place? Well, do you do family devotions? Are you strengthening the family? Are you doing those family devotions? Are you preaching the Word of God to your family as much as you do to the world?
Amen.
How are you praying with your wife?
Yep.
That's good. Amen.
Amen.
Are you praying with her?
Amen.
Let me ask you another question. Are you teaching your wife the Bible?
Yeah.
Are you leading spiritually? Or do you just go with the flow and let anything happen?
Yeah.
Whatever way you're pushed around and whatever way everything goes, you just let life happen instead of taking charge. Do you have a time set where you're actually spending time with your wife to nourish and cherish her? That cherish to love, to care, to nurture, to feed, to help grow. Is there a time when you're doing that? Is there a time when you actually spend time to talk with your wife? When the children go to bed and you don't turn on the idiot box or the internet or anything else and you just sit and you're just talking to one another.
Amen.
Do you have that time together? Are you doing that? Where nothing interferes with that and you're doing that? Some of you are afraid to do that. I'm going to tell you why you're afraid. Because you're afraid what she's going to say to you. And some of you ladies might be afraid to have that too because you're afraid of what's going to be said to you. Because when you start analyzing stuff according to the scriptures, you start going over everything according to the scriptures, you're going to find some errors and some problems in your life that you haven't been doing right.
No.
Some submission problems, some leading problems, some problems with the children, some areas that have been neglected. I guarantee you as a father, you're going to start to look and you're going to be like, where have I failed? Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I have to start looking at it and analyzing it. Well, I need to fix this. I need to change this. And that's not easy. It's not easy to change, though, to say, I got to change these things. I've got to fix them now. I've got to lead my children. I've got to lead my wife. I've got, before I can go out and make war outside of the camp, I need to get some things fixed inside the camp. There's some sin and rebellion and some things that need to be dealt with. There's some leadership issues. There's a vacuum of leadership. I need to organize things spiritually. I need to make sure I'm leading my home.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to see God do something in my life, I need to make sure the order is correct. Because how could I possibly do something for God and pick and choose what I'm going to obey? And then you need to look and see, have I submitted to God? Have I submitted to God's order? Have I submitted, do I understand God's order? Do I understand what God expects from me? Do I understand what I'm to be as a husband? Am I leading? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Or am I spinning my wheels and not getting anywhere spiritually? You know, it's very easy to point a finger at all the apostate churches and all the churches that are messed up. But when's the last time you looked at the sphere of influence that you have and what God put to govern for you to govern over and looked and did an audit of how you're a spiritual audit of how you're doing?
Amen.
Yeah, there's a lot of apostates out there. You better believe it. But you know what? There's a lot of derelict fathers out there too, yep. and husbands and wives that aren't fulfilling their role. When's the last time you looked at those? When's the last time you looked at yourself and said, am I doing things right?
Amen.
Man, I can pick on that pastor because he's the pastor of that church over there. Man, he's bad.
Paul's fault.
Huh?
Paul's fault.
It's all his fault. Yeah, see, I've heard that thing going on, that church repent stuff, right? How about dad repent? How about husband repent?
Amen.
How about we do some husband repent?
How about that?
How about we do some wife repent?
Yeah.
How about we do some children repent?
Yeah.
Amen.
Huh?
Come on.
How about that?
Preach it.
No, just the church.
Because I guarantee you, in America, you could stand out about every house in America and stand outside there and hold a father repent sign.
Yeah.
Dad repent, husband repent,
yeah.
Wife repent, children repent. When's the last time there was like an actual spiritual audit in your home and you said, you know what, we're getting rid of the worldliness, the wicked movies, the wicked video games that are... You know, just trash. The wizard, the magic, and all that other garbage that's out there. The war and all the Minecraft and all that other garbage. And when's the last time you said, I'm going to get rid of all that stuff. I'm going to get rid of Disney and the world and everything else out of my life. And I'm going to clean the house up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You want the church cleaned up. Don't you want to clean your house up?
Yeah.
Where's the spiritual spring cleaning of your house?
Amen. He is worthy.
Yeah, he is worthy. That's right.
Amen.
When are we going to take ownership and blame for what's going on in this country? We're always looking for everybody else to take the blame and point a finger at everybody else. Well, I'll tell you what, there wouldn't be any abortion if fathers were teaching their daughters, caring for them, keeping them home, loving them, taking care of them, not prostituting them out to the world to go work for some pervert out there. But they actually raise their daughters, take care of them, and teach their young men to be men that are responsible, that don't run around like a bunch of whores themselves.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen. Right.
How about you take ownership and responsibility for that?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And guess what? You wouldn't have to do a whole lot of that other stuff.
Amen.
There wouldn't be a whole lot of abortion mills out there.
Get to the root.
When you get to the root of the problem.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
When you raise boys as boys and girls as girls,
yeah.
What does that mean? That means I take care of my daughters until they're married.
Amen.
I don't send them out to the world to work.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm man enough to take care of them. That's why.
Amen.
And I teach my son a trade to be a man, to take care of himself once, and to be
Amen.
A man, and to grow,
Amen.
And to provide for a family.
That's right.
Because I teach them differently.
Yep.
Because a girl is to be submissive to a husband just like she is to her father.
Yep.
Until then, and that's how you teach that proper. That's how you raise wives. Did you know that's what you're supposed to raise when you raise daughters? No, you're supposed to raise doctors and lawyers and... No, you're not. You're supposed to raise wives.
Amen.
That's right.
Right there?
Bible.
Bible.
Not the world's
word. But we have all the worldly philosophies today.
That's right.
I wonder... Nah, I don't want to get off on this. I think about this and it starts getting to me. It really starts to get to me because I think about that church repent stuff and all those other things. And I start to think about that stuff and I'm trying not to, but it really bothers me because I wonder how many of those homes, how many of those people are out running around doing everything over there and everything while their families are neglected there. Suppose we took the Bible outside of their home and started doing some analyzing. I wonder how that would work out.
Well,
I wonder how apathetic they are.
Yeah.
Amen.
To the spiritual plight of their family and the leadership of their home. I've seen a lot of men pay lip service to it, but I haven't seen a lot of action when it comes to actually leading there. But when you can go look like a superhero and put your cape on and go fly out there, you look good.
Amen.
I'm just saying. We either believe the Bible or we don't. We either submit to God's order or we don't.
Amen.
Yep.
But you're not going to be able to do it halfway and then act like it's real, because somebody's going to take a Bible and be like, you're lying. And it's right here.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Truth.
Is it pointed? Yep. Tough to hear? Yeah, so you get it right, then you enjoy hearing the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
There's something about getting things right. Once you get it right, you enjoy hearing the truth. It doesn't bother you anymore. Right, and then you can actually preach the truth to people because you've actually repented of it.
Yes.
And then you can have strength to go war and to go battle and to go fight the devil. But when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Amen.
Strong churches are built by strong families.
Amen.
Strong churches build strong nations.
Yep, right. Amen.
See how that works?
Yep.
But it starts right in your home. The whole world can go apostate and all the churches can, but if you are standing for what's right, you can still govern your family and do what's right. And you have the moral responsibility and the biblical mandate to do so. When you do that, guess what? Then your children will turn out and your wife and your family will be strong. When you ignore God's word, you're on shaky ground. The devil's coming. He's going to get his hoof in the door. You're going to give him place. He's going to get in your home, and he's going to disrupt it because he doesn't want you fighting him in his kingdom. All right, let's pray.
Amen.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us to obey the truth. Lord, submit to God. Help us to do that. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Dear God, we pray for your help. We pray for your guidance and protection. We pray, Lord, that if there's anything that we've done wrong, we've not led right in, please help us as men and husbands and fathers to repent of that. Go to our wives, repent, tell them we were wrong, and start to lead. And if wives have not done right, Lord, we pray that they would submit, and children as well, that they would admit that they're wrong, repent, pray together, and ask God to forgive us. And then be strong and be able to go fight against the devil. And his wicked kingdom, and fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.